Welcome into Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. You're listening to Mike Palm, Vice President of Operations for Circa and Circa Sports. Well, here we sit. It is July 11th, heading into Major League Baseball All-Star Weekend. Major League Baseball draft started today. Just a couple weeks away from WNBA All-Star Weekend, which will be held in Chicago at the United Center. Going to try to come and be a part of that. I know I was working on getting a press credential for that. I have to be in Iowa earlier in the week, so maybe we can swing something there. We're recording this on Friday morning, the 10th. So at this point, we know one of the four semifinalists in the World Cup. NBA Summer League is underway. So a lot going on in the world of sports. Let's take a little temperature check here. Major League Baseball, as we head into this final weekend before the break. If we look at the National League, you know, the Cubs, yeah, we think we know the top two seeds and who in the National League are going to be. Obviously, the Dodgers are running away with the West. They're 14 and a half game lead, 61-33, the best record in baseball. As we've talked about on this program, and we recommended this bet back in early May, Brewers, second best record, 59-34. And then the East is a hodgepodge right now. Braves, who at one time had a double-digit lead by three over the Phillies, and the Marlins. Marlins, 8-2 in their last 10, hottest team in the National League. They've closed within three as well. Cubs are seven games back of the Brewers at 52-41, playing well, took two out of three in Baltimore. And they are seven back. Cardinals, 10.5 back. Pirates, 12.5 back. Reds, 16.5 back. So, as I've said multiple times on this program, I thought the Chicago Cubs will be a wild card team this year. And I think those are the expectations that we have to talk about. When you look at the National League wild card race right now, the Cubs have a half game lead on those two teams that are tied for second in the East, the Phillies and the Marlins. And then it's three games back to the Cardinals, four to Washington, five to Pittsburgh. Thing I like best about the Cubs, 25-22 away from home. So that's sustainable. And of all the teams in the wild card race in the National League, the Cubs do have the best run differential at plus 50. Another interesting note on the Cubs is PCA and the reinvention of PCA. You know, and I've been very blunt about this, the incident he had in the series on the South Side and what he said to the lady, and then really went through about 2.5 weeks where he couldn't find his way. As we speak today on Friday, July 10th, his WAR is actually higher than Shohei Ohtani. Now, Ohtani obviously pitching and hitting, and when we look at the National League MVP race in terms of betting odds, Ohtani is minus 2,000. That means you have to bet $20 to win a dollar. PCA is plus 1,500, means for every dollar you bet, if he were to win it, you'd win $15. The next closest person is Kyle Schwarber at 40-1. So he's made up a lot of ground, but Ohtani is still the overwhelming favorite in the bias built in with a two-way play. Let's flip over to the American League because the Sox struggled here, getting swept by the Red Sox. But they head into a series with the A's, who are 1-9 in their last 10. That may be their saving grace heading into the All-Star break. Right now, they are technically tied with the Guardians. Sox are 47-45. Guardians are 48-46. So percentage points, Sox a little bit ahead. Concern here is 19-28 away. Twins are two games back. I don't think that's sustainable. The problem here for our future tickets and 25-1 on the White Sox to win the division is here come the Tigers. 8-2 in their last 10, still seven games below 500. But at one point, I believe 13 games back, the Tigers have now closed to within 4.5 games. Big program tonight. We're going to talk to Greg Peterson coming up here in less than a minute. Break down everything about baseball. We'll look All-Star Weekend and the draft and all these pennant and awards races. And then in the second hour, we're going to talk to Chris Vasile again, World Cup action, as well as the WNBA. It's Bet on Chicago, WLS 890 AM. Welcome back into Bet on Chicago, and hitting in his normal leadoff spot, it's our good friend, Greg Peterson. We're excited to talk to you, Greg. Here we are heading into All-Star break. We've got the Major League Baseball draft today here on July 11th. All-Star break coming up. Many exciting things going on in baseball. We've got some races heating up. We've got some award markets heating up. And we thank you for taking the time to talk to us again this week.
Of course, Mike, it's such a great time of year. Now we're getting into the heat of baseball season. We're not quite at training camp yet for football and everything like that. This is where baseball takes center stage. We'll have a few days off later on next week. But you know what? I'm fired up, and now the races are getting hot and heavy, my friend.
I want to start off with some awards markets, Greg, because a lot of talk around Chicago is about PCA. PCA's WAR is now higher than Shohei Ohtani. And PCA in the MVP market in the National League has now firmly taken command of the second position. Shohei Ohtani still minus 2,000 to win the award. PCA 15-1, Kyle Schwarber 40-1, Soto, Wood 50-1, and on and on and on. How legitimate of a chance does PCA have to win National League MVP?
It's dependent upon injury. Like, I wish I could put it any other way, but with Shohei Ohtani, it's just hard to be able to top Shohei Ohtani because he's pretty much two roster spots in one. And there's just nobody in baseball that can say that because everyone's like, oh, we're giving Shohei Ohtani too much love and everything like that. Well, he just does something that nobody else in baseball has done since Babe Ruth. Like, you think about it, because you have Shohei Ohtani on your roster, that means that you don't need another starting pitcher. That means that you have an extra roster spot for an extra slugger and everything like that. So there's value on top of that. So I love what PCA has done. Like, ever since he told off that fan, I don't know what happened there, but he's been incredible. Like, I think that if Shohei Ohtani did not exist, Pete Armstrong should be running and hiding with this award right now, because we all talk about the bat, and that certainly is heated up. He's been really good in the field as well. After a few blunders to begin the season, you can tell it was a little bit uncharacteristic of himself. He's been playing so much better out there in the field recently as well. It's just unfortunate the fact that he ran into a generational talent that is pretty much two top-end players, a top-end hitter, and a top-end pitcher at the same time, and just flat out nobody else is that.
Let's talk about the American League. You know, I looked at this race earlier in the year and I kept staring at Jordan Alvarez because I thought that Witt was overvalued. And I looked at Alvarez when he was still $3 plus $3.50. And I said to myself, look, you're going to be able to pitch around him in this Astros lineup. The lineup is not good enough. And so I neglected to make a bet. Now, of course, Alvarez -$1.45. But what I really want to ask you about is Junior Caminero. Every time I turn around, this guy's hitting a home run. My friend bets him every year preseason to win MVP. Got him at 45-1 this year. He's your second choice, around 5-1. Some markets of 470. Assess the American League MVP race right now, Greg.
I would have to give it to Junior Caminero. Like, as we're recording this, I think that he's had 12 home runs in 15 games. Might be 16, but my goodness, this guy is just absolutely carrying this Tampa Bay Rays lineup. Like, I mean, you get a little bit of help from Jonathan Aranda, Yandy Diaz, but I mean, for the Rays, it's a little bit of a mix and match sort of team with a lot of guys that play small ball, which is all well and good and everything like that. Caminero is driving them in, and it's so scary because he's something like 22, 23 years old. He's going to be around for so long, and the Tampa Bay Rays are winning games. Like, that's something almost nobody else in the American League can say. Like, I've been talking about it on the baseball betting show for weeks. It's like, does anyone want to step up and win a game out there in the American League? Like, all these teams are sub-500. All these teams are miring mediocrity. And the Rays right now have the best record in the American League going into the All-Star break. He's been by far their best player. So if I had to vote on this award right now, I would definitely be giving it to Junior Caminero, even though he might not have quite as many home runs right now as Yordan Alvarez.
And finally, on the awards market, American League Cy Young. You know, I said this was Cam Schlittler's to win or lose. And then we watched Dylan Cease take a perfect game into the seventh and a no-hitter into the ninth in San Francisco the other day. And a standalone game as well, Greg. I have to tell you, the only day game on the docket, and it was the only day the World Cup took off. I don't know what Manfred does with the schedule. But Cease got a whole national stage, if you're a baseball fan, to watch him pitch there. It's now Cam Schlittler +120, Dylan Cease +145 here. Assess this race.
Now, the one thing that's hurting Dylan Cease is that he missed a few starts towards the beginning part of the season, and I just still have a big fear with the walks. Like with Cam Schlueter, he had that blow-up start, I think it was two starts ago, but he bounced back really good against a team that we just talked about a second ago. The Tampa Bay Rays, like, I don't think it should be quite this close right now because the Dylan Cease strikeout numbers are exceptional. No ifs, ands, or buts about it, but he does leave himself prone to be getting knocked out of a start early because he does give out so many walks. Cam Schlueter has made more starts. He's got more innings pitched. He's got, in my opinion, a lower ERA right now as well. So, I mean, those are all things that are limiting factors. Now, can Dylan Cease win this award? Absolutely. Like, if he pitches the way that he did earlier in the week, boy, oh boy, he's going to be catching up on Cam Schlueter. I feel like maybe the number lowered just a little bit too much based on one start. Like, it's a nice start, but it's also a start that happened in early July, and this is an award that's going to be voted upon in late September, October. So, I mean, I just feel like it was maybe a little bit too overreactionary based on one very, very, very good performance, but still only one performance.
I'll throw one more at you because our friend Mitch Moss sent me a text earlier this week, and he said, take a look at TJ Rumfield, the first baseman for the Rockies, for National League Rookie of the Year. He's about 20-1 right now, and that's what he sits today as we tape this on July 10th, 20-1. Co-fifth choice. Weatherholt having a great year at the top of the Cardinals lineups, your favorite at -160. Sal Stewart with the Reds is +260. And then you get into the bench, Ewing, the two Mets, and then Rumfield and Bryce Eldridge. Thoughts on TJ Rumfield and his Rookie of the Year National League candidacy?
I think you bring up an interesting name there with Eldridge as well. He got called up a little bit late, and he has been exceptional for a Giants team that they're starting to put up runs. Like, we haven't seen this very often from the San Francisco Giants. They're actually scoring runs, so that's great. And I do think that TJ Rumfield has value here at 20-1. Certainly, it's going to take a lot for him to be able to overtake some of the favorites right now just because it's the Colorado Rockies. I wish I could put it any other way. They are not in the playoff hunt whatsoever. And when you're playing at Coors Field, it does elevate those numbers at home. The big thing for Rumfield is, can he hit on the road? And if you look at the Rockies' home and road splits, they are much better this year than they have been in the past. They're averaging in that neighborhood about 4.6 runs per game, give or take what we get in the next game or two going into the All-Star break. Typically, they're scoring like 5.5 runs per game at home and then like 3 away from home. So they've been a much better team when they've been away from home with regards to their lineup. So I think that that's a big factor for them. Again, I'd feel like J.J. Weatherholt and those guys are overvalued, and I feel like T.J. Rumfield is undervalued. The only thing is, does he have a realistic shot of being able to win it just because he's limited by the fact that the Rockies are going to be nowhere near a playoff race, and while everyone's going to be looking at like the Reds and the Cardinals if they're there in the playoff run, Rockies just aren't there.
All right, Greg, let's transition into teams now, and this was always my fear with this White Sox ticket. I thought I was in good shape if we could isolate with the Guardians, but here come the Motor City Kitties, and the Tigers are scoring a ton of runs right now. You finally got a good start from Framber Valdez yesterday, and the Tigers, who at one point were 13.5 games back, are only 4.5 games back right now. Cleveland and the White Sox in a flat-footed tie, White Sox percentage points above. White Sox just got swept by the Red Sox. I think hopefully a good thing that they're playing the A's, who are 1-9 in their last 10 in this final series before you go into the break. You can get the Tigers at 4-1 to win the American League Central right now. Are you interested, Greg?
That all depends upon what we get in the next few weeks, because with the Tigers, we just don't know what they're going to do with Tarik Skubal. If they hold on to Tarik Skubal and they go for it, you're in pretty bad shape if you have anyone else out there in the American League Central. If they trade him, though, then you're in amazing shape. Now, I say this because I still remember they traded Jack Flaherty at the deadline 2 years ago. They still made the playoffs, which that was still one of the most ridiculous things ever. But that's the big thing right now. This stretch coming out of the All-Star break, these next 2 to 3 weeks, you need to gauge whether or not you think the Tigers are going to pick up some wins or not. Because if they pick up wins and they decide that they're going to hold on to all their guys, I think that they've got a realistic shot because they still have Gleyber Torres on the injury list, Javi Baez as well. Torres should be coming back. I don't know about Javi Baez. I've not seen any reports. And here's something else that doesn't help you out if you're on the White Sox, what have you. The first series coming out of the All-Star break for the Detroit Tigers, the LA Angels. That should be a few wins right there. Now, they get the Cubs after that, but They face off against the Angels, the Cubs, and then the Royals before they play against the Orioles. They actually have a pretty cupcake schedule going into the trade deadline. That's why I think that the Tigers have a legitimate shot here. You want to be gauging these next few games, because if they sell at the deadline, you're in good shape. With the way that the schedule is looking right now, the Tigers look like they are very, very live once again, though.
I want to talk about the NL East now. And our friend Jensen Lewis from VSiN by the Books made a wager about 10 days ago, the Miami Marlins to win the NL East. I believe he got them close to 40-1. They are now 16-1. They are tied with the Phillies, three games back of the Braves. Are these Marlins for real?
It's hard to say no at this point. Like, ever since June 1st, going into July 10th, they were 26-8 in their last 34 games. Like, at some point, we need to wake up and realize, hey, the Marlins are getting the job done, and they are using analytics to a T right now. I'd like to call them the Southeast version of the Milwaukee Brewers, because they're second in the league in terms of stealing bases. They don't necessarily have a bunch of power bats. Like Liam Hicks, he's going to be between 13 to 14 home runs when this comes out. He's right now your main power hitter, but they've got a lot of guys that they just find a way to move the line at the top of it. Even the guys that maybe aren't hitting for the world's greatest batting average, they're finding a way to be able to draw walks. They're sort of using a mix and match approach as well, because they've had Ryan Gusto starting games. Like, how is a team 26-8 in their last 34 when they're trying to get their Ryan Gusto once out of every 5 days? Like, that in itself deserves some sort of an award. But I mean, for the Marlins, they've done such a good job in terms of being able to sort of allocate how they want to utilize their bullpen as well. Like, one day you're going to have a long reliever in Lake Bacar. You're going to have a bunch of guys piggybacking off of one another. And the key to this as well has been Tyler Phillips, a guy that began the season in the bullpen. He was a nice long guy. He's become a highly reliable starter for this team. And let me throw out here the craziest part as well. They're doing this all with Sandy Alcantara not looking like his Cy Young form as well. Like, Sandy Alcantara hasn't been bad. He's been a guy. He's posting up like a 4 ERA. He's been okay for this team, but I mean, they are doing this all with Sandy Alcantara not in peak form. If he reaches peak form towards the end of the year, and keep in mind, I think that we talked about this already on the show a few weeks ago. Oh, who might be able to get Sandy Alcantara at the trade deadline? Well, that's right now not on the table, because the Marlins just keep winning games. So I think that they're very live. The Braves are incredibly banged up, and the Philadelphia Phillies are top heavy. So we need to be looking at the fish. We're about 90 games into the season, and they're right here.
Greg, I want to transition to the Major League Baseball draft that will start around 1 o'clock Eastern time on Saturday, which is today, where it's air. You know, we're airing tonight, but talking on Friday. I'm just, of course, a lot of talk about who the White Sox are going to take at number one, and this is a really strange betting story to me, because if we would have talked 4 or 5 weeks ago, Rock Chawalski, the shortstop from UCLA, was like Otani numbers, like minus 1500 to be the overall first pick. As we are talking on Friday morning, he is now the second choice, barely. But Grady Emerson from Fort Worth Christian High School, also a shortstop, is now the plus 110 betting favorite for the White Sox with the first pick. Rock Chawalski, plus 120, and then Von Lackey, from the catcher from Georgia Tech, at 3-1, and then everybody else is a mile long. Thoughts on how this market has changed, and do you have an opinion on who the White Sox are going to take?
Boy, I mean, this is rough. Like, I still go with Chawalski personally, because he's got a little bit of a proven track record, and here's a little bit of this as well. We have noticed a lot of players getting called up from the minor leagues sooner and sooner because they played college baseball. The White Sox are still in this race. Am I crazy to think that they might try to draft someone that can help them as early as this year? Like, I know that we talked about the Cleveland Guardians when they drafted Travis Bazzana a few seasons ago. This feels like it's a very similar case, because for the White Sox, I mean, as well, you mentioned the catcher being the number three option too. They could really use a catcher, because that's been the weak point of the team. Edgar Chiaro has been a nothing burger. Kyle Teal's been banged up all season long. So I would still be looking away from the high school options right now for the White Sox, because I feel like they might need a little bit of help right now. And one of those two options might be able to provide that. So I can't say that I'm necessarily the greatest with regards to prospecting or everything like that, because I do a lot more with regards to day-to-day, and I'm very dialed in with regards to just the professional level. But I would be looking at perhaps some immediate help here for the White Sox, a team that finds themselves in a very unexpected playoff race.
You would figure those three that I mentioned would go 1, 2, 3. Tampa Bay picks second. If they go with Chwalski, the White Sox, I would assume that they're going to take Emerson. And then the Twins would pick the third one of the ones who are left. So then it becomes interesting when you go down to number four. The favorite there is Jacob Lombard, who's still in high school as well in Florida and who's a shortstop. He has minus 108 odds to go to the Giants. And then at fifth is the Pirates. And the favorite there is the UC Santa Barbara pitcher, Jackson Flora. Your thoughts on Flora and where the Giants might go at number four?
Yeah, I think that they should definitely be taking Flora personally. Okay. I mean, I saw this guy. He was absolutely incredible. And keep in mind, guy that played out there at UC Santa Barbara, right there within the state, that's a good selling point for you right there. Obviously, it's going to probably take him a year or two in order to be able to get up to the big league level. And unlike the first three teams, where the San Francisco Giants are nowhere near a playoff one. Like, for the San Francisco Giants, their playoff hopes were dashed in very, very early April when Matt Chapman was, like, screaming at I forget who it was, but I and that pretty much put the kibosh on their season. But I would be certainly looking at Flora. I think that he is by far the best pitcher in the draft. For the Giants, they really need to try to retool as well, because they've got like an aging Robbie Ray right now. They're looking at Tyler Molly. They need some youth with regards to their pitching. I think that he'd be able to provide that. So I'd be looking at Flora number four.
Greg Peterson, everyone. All right. Spent on Chicago WLS 890 AM.
We love helping people with things like customizing car insurance, just like how we customize a song for you. Catered country tune, Liberty Mutual, saving you bucks by protecting your truck. Cause Birdie told me to only pay for what I need. Thank you, Limu. Always trusting Limu with Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Save more on what you need to get the job done right. Right now at Lowe's. Get 15% off select custom entry and interior doors. Plus, save $80 on the DeWalt 20-volt Max 2-Tool Combo Kit. Now just $169. And at the Lowe's Pro Desk, bring us your materials list and get a quote in minutes. Handwritten, a photo, or even a sticky note is all you need. Keep your jobs moving faster and on budget at Lowe's. Valid through 7/8 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The Colonel's cooked up a new $10 bucket of the day just for you. Monday, 24 nuggets for $10. Tuesday, 8-piece fried chicken for $10. Wednesday, 10 wings for $10. Thursday, 8 tenders for $10. Friday, 24 nuggets for... Ooh, you guessed it, didn't you? $10.
Find a liquor machine.
The $10 bucket of the day deal. Every weekday, only at KFC. It's finger licking good.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Not available on third-party ordering platforms. Tax extra.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots! He scores!
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm, and Chuck McDowell, definitely not an attorney. This is Chuck. If someone talked you into buying something really silly and you want to get out of that silly little thing, my advice, get the facts. Call me and I'll send you our timeshare exit kit absolutely free. Inside, you'll learn how timeshare works and all your options for cancellation.
Call Wesley now for your free exit information kit. 800-909-9696. 800-909-9696.
With other language learning apps, I was just playing games. I wasn't really learning. Babbel's different.
Babbel was designed by over 200 language learning experts to be the most effective way to learn another language.
Every time I open the app, I can choose to work on my writing, speaking, or listening. And it saves my mistakes for me to review, so I'm constantly improving. Before Babbel, I thought I just wasn't good with languages. But now I'm speaking French. Tout ça, c'est grâce à Babbel.
Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Welcome back into Bet on Chicago here on WLS 890 AM. You're listening to Mike Palm. You can follow me on X at Circa Maestro. Well, you know, I've been paying attention to these offer sheet wars in the NHL, and just really fascinating. And we can get into them in the second hour tonight. But the situation with Carlson with the Ducks in Philadelphia coming out of nowhere with the 5 years, $90 million, and it forced the Ducks, and they ended up yesterday matching the offer. Wow. Now what does that mean? Michikov, they signed Michikov overpriced. They're probably going to have to let four of their top six defensemen go. But while I'm thinking about all this and kind of slowly transitioning into an NHL mindset, and excited for, what continued progress can we see from the Blackhawks? And I was in the middle of an interview Saturday morning last week with Nick Alberga, in fact, who's a great young kid and does a podcast out of Toronto every day. You know, and we get the news of Bedard going down in practice, Connor Bedard. And sure enough, I think Tuesday, he underwent left shoulder surgery, which the timeline is 4 months, not back till November, possibly. And remember, the NHL starts in September this year. So you're talking about potentially missing a month and a half of the season. I mean, if you had bet already into markets, Blackhawks, yes, playoffs, you know, and the conversation was with Nick Alberga was about, do you think the Blackhawks can make the playoffs? And he was advocating a no position. If you've taken the yes position, it's taken an extreme hit already. And I know some markets have taken it down, but this is a big blow. And obviously he's the superstar of the team and your top point producer. And guys are going to have to take much bigger roles. From day one now, there's no easing into this season. We've seen in the past, when Bedard's been out for extended periods, and by that I mean more than a week, that they have really struggled to generate offense. And in the division they're in the Central, you can't fall behind the eight ball here. You can't go through 20 games and get yourself buried. And so what will they have to do with their lines? Well, I think obviously you're going to have to move up Frank Nazar, and he's going to have to be the first line center with Bertuzzi and Kantsarov. But even more importantly now is the second line, and Anton Frondell is now going to have to be your second line center. There's no I don't understand what other alternatives you have to play with Donato and Lardis, and then that moves up Oliver Moore to third line with Mangiapane and Teräväinen, and then you mix and match here on the fourth line with Green and Greenway, and I would guess Cole Smith. I think you have to put Nazar on the top line because I think Bertuzzi will create more opportunities for him because of his net presence. I think that gives Nazar, who, by the way, my boss Derek Stevens is very high on, the best opportunity to succeed. Remember, Frondell was the overall number three, which they had last year. And this year they traded the four. The overall number three, he's suddenly going to be stepping right into that second line center role. And then you change your third line into really a more of a speed and skill line. At least Teravainen and Mangiapane give that line a lot of experience. And you stick Oliver Moore in there. But it's just, it's a really big blow. And I think the significance of it can't be understated. And the way you look at it, it can really be taken as a good turn by the betting markets. Blackhawks were, and I know that to make the playoffs is a more specific market, and it's not that widely available, especially in Illinois as I look here. But to win the cup, remember the Blackhawks last year were 300-1. They were 175-1 before the Bedard injury news came out. And this drops them now to 250-1. Just as we talk about it, Hurricanes the favorites, second choice Panthers to bounce back after missing the playoffs, followed by the Avalanche, Oilers, Knights, Tampa, and Minnesota, Dallas. The Capitals are the last team really under 20-1. Bet on Chicago, WLS 890.